We are ready to begin 2 Samuel, and we are in chapter 5, the aftermath of Ish-bosheth's beheading. And if you remember, we were about ready to start verse 3. In the first two verses, the tribes of Israel had gathered together to David and kind of promised to support him. All right, so we're starting with verse 3 of chapter 5. Vayavou kol zikne Yisrael el hamelech Chevrona. And all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. Okay. Vayikrot lahem hamelech David berit bechevron lifne Yahweh. And he made with them, notice the karat, he made with them lahem, namely Hamelech David, the King David, and now here's the object, Berit. So notice it's very woodenly cut a covenant, but we would say, and he made with them, namely King David did, a covenant in Hebron, Lifnei Yahweh, before Yahweh. All right? Vayim Shechu, and they anointed, Mashach is to anoint, and they anointed David Lemelech as king over Israel. And now notice how key that is. He was already considered the leader of Judah, so now he's the king over Israel. And notice they anointed him. He had already been anointed by Samuel in 1 Samuel 16. So here he was anointed by the elders when he took over. So here you see the first time the kingdoms are truly united. You know, I don't know if they ever were quite under Saul, but here you see that consolidating happening and stability brought to the kingdom, as you will see. Questions?
Yeah. The anointing by the elders.
Yeah.
That kind of caught me off guard. How often do the elders do the anointing?
I don't know. It's a good question, and I didn't think to kind of look at that. But I don't know. I don't know if it'd be interesting to see who anointed. How often it even mentions kings being anointed and who?
I don't know. Solomon ever being anointed.
Like
he's
that.
He's just
right. He just inherits, and then doesn't. But doesn't Nathan the prophet or Zadok the prophet, the priest, anoint him? Remember when Adonijah was trying to take over later on? So you do have that, but the elders coming together. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You see the unity maybe involved and the politics behind getting Israel and Judah together. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, you're right about that. And see, when it says Israel here, are you... I'm assuming that it means Israel in distinction from Judah and not Israel and Judah, because it's been Israel in distinction from Judah previous to this. So I'm assuming that, but I guess we can't be sure. Good. Anything else on chapter 3 or verse 3? All right, verse 4. Ben Shalashim Shana David Be Malko. All right. So this is a typical way that you mention someone's age. A son of 30... And then Shana, notice that that's the singular for year. It's kind of interesting. In the numbers from 2 to 10, the noun that it goes with is virtually always plural, as you'll see. From the numbers from like 11 to 19, the nouns are mostly plural, but you get a few more singular. And then when you get from like 20 through 90, the nouns are by and large in the singular. Especially when you get the very common nouns like year, you know, 1 year, 1 day, yom, ish, one man. Those tend to be more singular as well. So it's kind of interesting. You'll see both here. So a son of 30 years was David. So namely, David was 30 years old. Bemalko. Notice that is a call, infinitive construct, first year guys, plus third masculine singular suffix with a bait. So, when he became king, in his becoming king, literally. So, a son of 30 years was David in his becoming king, or when he became king. All right. Arbaim, that's 40 Shana. Notice Shana is singular again. 40 years, Malach, he reigned. Again, a call, third masculine, singular, perfect. So, 30 years old was David when he became king. For 40 years, he reigned. All right. Questions about that? All right, verse 5, we get some more. Bechevron malak al Yehuda shavashanim v'shishacharashim. Okay. Now, in Hebron, malak, he reigned over Judah for 7 years. Notice seven, and then the plural is shanim, years. So there you see the distinction. It's kind of weird from our perspective. I don't know if that makes a great deal of sense or not, but that's just what you see happening. And again, that's by and large true. You know, you'll always find exceptions, though. So in Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years and shisha chadashim, and 6 months. All right, notice months is plural. Chodesh chadashim, remember? Chodesh chadashim is month. So, and 6 months. So notice the seven and the six are plural. The nouns are plural. Okay? Uvi Rushalayim malak shaloshim v'shalosh shana. And in Jerusalem, he reigned for 33 years. All right, and again, notice shana is singular. All right. So notice how it finishes up. Al kol Yisrael v'Huda. So, and in Jerusalem, he reigned for 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So notice the author makes the point that the kingdom was united for David when he was his capital was in Jerusalem for 33 years. All right, it's really kind of interesting biographical kind of little details you get there. All right, any questions through those first three verses? All right, verse 6 then. Vayelech HaMelech v'anashav Yerushalayim el ha-yevushi yoshev ha'aretz. All right. Vayelech. Then the king went, halak. Okay, call in perfect box. Then the king went and his men. Okay, so then the king and his men went Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem. All right, so notice what the author is doing. He gave you the whole boundaries of his reign in verses 4 and 5 in his age. Now he's going back to tell you how he got Jerusalem. Because remember, Jerusalem, he didn't just walk into Jerusalem. Okay? So the king and his men went to Jerusalem to the Yevusi, to the Jebusite. And notice that this is a Gentilic form. The Jebusites were the people who were living in Jerusalem. And so while you have a singular here, it means the group of people called the Jebusites. Okay? So they went to Jerusalem to the, and in English style, we'd almost have to use the plural here, to the Jebusites who were dwelling. See, notice that that's a call participle. So the Jebusites, and there's no article with it. Again, Samuel, the text, that's, You just get less standard Hebrew here, okay? So he and his men went to Jerusalem to the Jebusites living ha'aretz, on the land, or in the land, okay? Vayomer leDavid leMor. And now notice when you translate, and he said to David, the first question is, who said? And what it means is the Jebusites said. So they said. Or you could translate it as an impersonal. It was said to David. And the implied subject is, or agent, is by the Jebusites. Okay. Lemor saying, Lo tavo hena. You shall not enter hena. Here, that's an adverb, means here. You shall not enter here. Okay. Now, this is kind of an interesting, kind of obscure phrase that's coming up in Hebrew. It's rather famous, though. Ki'im. Hesiraka ha ivrim vehapischim lemor lo yavo David hena. Okay. Ki'im is a very emphatic particle. Surely or certainly. Okay. Now, hesiraka. Everyone see the root of that? It's from sur, to turn. Here it's the hifil, so it's direct object. It's a transitive verb. It's a hifil perfect third masculine singular from sur. So it means to remove. All right? Notice it's a perfect form, but you have to translate it as if it were future. So you would translate it like this. And remember, we have a few of these kind of preterite forms, even though it's not a preterite in form, but the meaning is not past. Okay? So notice, they said to David, you shall not enter here. Certainly the blind, the Ivrim and the Pisgim, certainly the blind and the lame will remove you. Okay? Now notice the lamor. Here lamor meaning, so the author is going to tell us what that means, lo yavo David hena, meaning David will not enter here. So in other words, I think what most people think or how they interpret the line as, even the blind and lame people can take you out of here. In other words, they're saying he's not very strong. So you're not going to come here. Even the blind and lame will be able to hold you off. See? So that was their kind of way of not only saying that he's not going to enter, but making fun of him at the same time. And as you know, you don't make fun of David. My grandma could hold you off, yeah. See, that's what it's kind of saying. All right? It's kind of weird. Actually, it's a pretty well-known line here, okay? So now, any questions on verse 6, first of all?
Yes. I have one at the beginning of the verse.
Yeah.
When David and his men go to Jerusalem,
yeah.
But there's no preposition.
Right.
That's odd to me, but for halak, we're taking an object, can it go without the preposition?
Well, very often, again, in Hebrew texts, and especially something like Samuel, you just don't get the real standard language. You'd like a directive hey there or a preposition, but you don't. You just get an accusative attached. And so notice that the context kind of makes it obvious what Jerusalem is. And so we've seen that pretty often here. This text, for some reason, doesn't give us those nice markers that you like. But that's what's happening, yeah. So you shouldn't be bothered by that because it happens kind of all the time, as we've seen. All right, any other questions? All right. Now notice it doesn't give you any details. He just moves on. Vayilko David. So David captured at Metzudat Zion. Metzudat, it notices, is a construct from the noun Metzudah, which means stronghold, it seems here. Zud is the word for to hunt. All right. And so David captured the stronghold of Zion, of Zion. It is the Ir David. It is the city of David. And we would probably say that is the city of David. So there's two names. The Zion and the city of David here are put together. So notice that both of these loom large in history, in Israel's history, and in the prophets. Okay, so Zion was the city of David, and evidently it was part of the whole place, part of on the mountain where Jerusalem was located. All right. Questions about verse 7? All right. Verse 8. Vayomer David, Bayom Hahu, Kol Make Yevusi, Veyiga Batsinor, Ve'et Ha Pishim, Ve'et Ha Ivrim. Okay, I'll try to see what this is. Senue nefesh David, al kain yomru iver u pesach lo yavo el habayit. All right, this is an obscure. What exactly he's talking about? We'll do our best though. And at that time, by Yom Hahu, okay. At that time, David said, "Kol make yevusi." Okay, everybody see make? That's from the root naka, means to hit or to strike. And notice that it is a hifil participle. Singular, in construct. That's why it's make with a tsere rather than make with a segol. So it's in construct with Jebusite, Yevusi. So at that time David said, every striker of the Jebusite, so everyone who smites, every smiter of the Jebusite, everybody see that? Okay, everyone who smites the Jebusite, Ve'yiga, see the root is from Naga, okay, and here it seems to mean something like he will approach him or touch him or get to him. Vayiga. Batzinor. A zinor is a very rare word, and it seems to mean a water conduit or a tunnel. Okay? So every striker of the Jebusite, he should approach in the water conduit. And et ha pishim, and the lame and et ha ivrim, and the blind. Now you got this form here. Okay, what the heck is all that? Notice the root is sana, to hate. And you have several different things you can do here. Notice that the way it's pointed, without the consonants, they want you to read a yud instead of a final vav, and take this as a call passive participle, plural, in construct. So hated of. Okay, so you would translate it, if you went by the kare, as hated by the soul of David. All right? The way the Masoretes have, the way the consonantal text goes, it looks like it should be san'u, they hate. All right? A call perfect third common plural. So it would be and and whoever touches, and let him touch in the conduit, let him approach him in the conduit, and the lame and the blind, okay, then it has to be something like whom the soul of David hates, but that's a difficult reading, see? Notice that the Qumran, see there's a note, the flag on the play, letter B, 6 or 8B. The Qumran has a third feminine singular, so it makes Nefesh David the subject. The soul of David hates, which kind of makes the most sense here. So let his, so all any striker of the Jebusites, okay, let him approach or come near in the water conduit, and the lame and the blind, the soul of David loathes or hates. Okay? See, that doesn't make sense. I mean, it's very obscure. Therefore, they say, Yomru, Iver, that's the word for blind person, and Pesach is the word for lame person, the singulars. Therefore, they say, a blind person and a lame person shall not enter to the house. Okay, and evidently that's probably referring to the sanctuary or maybe David's house. And notice that it seems to be tied together with the insult that the Jebusites gave David. A blind person can take you, see? And so what David captures it and says in response, anyone who smites the Jebusite, let him go into the water conduit. So evidently that is referring to the way that David got into the city. Remember, the city was fortified, it was up high, which is why the Jebusites had a lot of confidence that they couldn't be conquered. But that's probably what it's referring to. And so David is referring to the blind and the lame here kind of sarcastically. All right? So, yeah, you're the blind and lamed, and we defeated you kind of thing. But again, these verses are obscure. And you'll see a flag on the play in every English translation. Hebrew is very uncertain here because it's really hard to kind of see what's going on. And, of course, there may be textual problems too, you know. Okay, so that's the best I can do for you. Second Samuel has a lot of text-critical issues with it, actually. All right, good. Any other questions on verse 8 that I can untie? It only makes vague sense to me, too, so don't worry about it. All right? Verse 9 gets a little clearer. Vayeshev David ba-metsuda, vayakra la-ir David. Vayivan David saviv min ha-milo va-baita. All right. So David lived, vayeshev, see? So David lived in the metsuda. He lived in the fortification. All right? Namely, he lived in Zion, notice, because in verse 7 it was the fortification of Zion that he captured. So he lived in the fortification, and we're assuming it's Zion. And he called it, see, Vayikra La, he called it Ir David, the city of David. So Kara is probably better translated here, named it. And he named La, it, namely the city, the Ir David, the city of David. All right? Vayiven, from what root, first year guys? Bana. Very good. We've seen that a million times, right? And he built, and David built Saviv, and David built all around. So, you know, he had the fortification of Zion, and I think he's talking about the surrounding. Saviv is the adverb. He built all around from the Millo. Now, no one quite knows what the Millo is. It's usually translated as the citadel of the city. He built all around from the citadel Vabaita. And notice that's bait with a locative hay. All right. So he built all around from the Millo and to the house. So some suggest it means from the Millo inward, and if the Millo is a, some suggest the Millo is an earthenwork kind of structure or something like that. But it seems that he's giving just a basic kind of outline of David's building, you know, where he built on the city. So he lived in Zion and built kind of all around Zion, probably from Zion outward or something like that. It's hard to say again what that means in verse 9. Okay? Questions? Yes?
How much stake do we put in the Syriac here, omitting it? I mean, I'm just curious textual critically, like, where it comes in as a translation. I
mean, oh, yeah. See, notice. Well, yeah, the Syriac leaves out min hamilo and then that first vav.
Yeah,
it's hard to say how much credence to give it. I mean, that, the milo occurs in a number of other places, so it's not the only place it occurs. Who knows? I mean, I would say that the Syriac has less weight because it's usually based on Septuagint, something like that. So.
But there's no Septuagint.
The Septuagint seems to agree with the Hebrew. Yeah, I'd have to check and see. And I don't know what exactly the Qumran would say on it. So, yeah, you have the Syriac that omits it. How much weight to give that omission? I would tend not to give it much weight. Okay?
You know,
yeah, Joe?
They also kind of like mentioned that, that the Septuagint says, like, his house.
Yes.
And
his house.
Makes sense. That
yeah.
His house will be in the middle of the
fortification. Yeah.
It'd be
right.
The safest place.
See, that's an interesting. That is, it leaves the locative hay off the bite. It makes, in a sense, it solves a problem, right? It's an easier reading in a sense. So, it makes, and it does make more sense. And like I said, you're going to find textual issues like this, especially in 2 Samuel. And here's one of them. So notice what if you guys just want to look at what the Septuagint does, it seems to not have the locative hay. So it has from the Milo and the house, and namely, and his house it has. So maybe it has, actually it may have by toe or something like that, and his house. Kind of interesting. All right. Verse 10 takes the end of the paragraph. Vayelech David. Here's a good construction. Vayelech David halok vegadol. Vayahu Elohei Tzavaot emo. Okay, vayelech. And David went. Now, what kind of form is this halok? What is that? Infinitive absolute. Gadol. Another infinitive absolute. Notice the big fat mater vavs there with the big fat comets is under the first root letter. Tells you that those are infinitive absolutes. And remember, when you have a construction like halok and another infinitive or another participle, it usually is continuous action with that other participle. So David went along, vayelech, kind of this is a very general sense. It doesn't mean he was literally walking, but it's time passing. I don't know what the best English word for it is. Okay, so the halok and gadol, remember gadol means to become great. So he kept getting greater and greater. Stronger and stronger is what we'd say. So David proceeded getting stronger and stronger. That's that halok vegadol. All right? Or something like, so David went along and got stronger as he went. But it doesn't mean he's walking somewhere. It just means as time passes, he kept amassing more power. Vayahweh, the God of Tzevaot, the God of armies, Imo, was with him. See? So notice that second clause starting with a Vav and Yahweh explains why he kept getting stronger. Yahweh was with him. All right, very good. Any questions through that? We'll have to stop there. And we'll continue with the story of David. We're getting to an interesting section of the book. Yeah, you got it right at the end. Sorry about that, man. Jim today. He was eating cookies downstairs.
I know. God, I saw him.